This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Agrometeorologist Dr. Johan Malhebe joins me on the line. He's with Agricultural Research Council at the AgroClimate Network and Data Bank. Good morning to you and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning. Thank you.
Glad to finally talk to you, Dr. Malhebe. Please just give us a sense. I mean, when we talk about agrometeorology, what are we talking about?
Well, we're basically talking about how the weather influences what we want to produce in agriculture. So we look mostly at weather conditions, so the weather itself. We look at weather data and climate information. And we try to use that, or we use that, to expand agricultural activities to enhance the production. So, you know, we look here at the interaction of weather with vegetation. And when we talk about agriculture, we mean not only crop production, but you also look at animal husbandry and forestry. So all those things are very much, especially in a country such as South Africa, very much involved with the weather, or very much, you know, they need the weather to be quite good to be successful. I mean, we have dryland crop production here in areas that don't get a lot of rain. So that is one example of a situation where we really want to see that we identify the areas and the conditions that's the best for the specific cultivars we are interested in. Or you could also look at what we can do in a specific area and consider the conditions that the weather system gives you and then decide what is the best agricultural activities to make use of that. So we try to enhance the production of agriculture by taking into account weather conditions and climate.
Of course, these weather conditions and climate, part of it is that you have to look at the historic data in terms of patterns, what has been happening over some decades in a particular area. And then you are also concerned with, you know, the ability to forecast and or predict. But the weather does not always, you know, sit neatly into our predictions and our forecasts. But I'm sure then, Dr. Malhebe, to help the agricultural planning process, you've got to take a much more long-term view in your focus rather than, you know, the daily weather focus that we get as citizens.
Well, yes. I mean, in agricultural activities, you have short-term decisions you have to take and then also more strategic things that needs to happen, planning way forward. So both of those, the short-term and the longer-term information, is very, very much useful from an agricultural perspective. For example, if I want to use some insecticides during the next week, or pesticides, or want to do certain activities that need conditions that don't see a lot of wind, then the short-term forecast is quite important. So we are even looking at those kind of things to advise farmers on their shorter-term planning. So, for example, if it's going to rain a lot during this week, we would say, don't try to do activities that need dry conditions to happen. So these short-term forecasts are quite important, but as you mentioned, there's a lot of strategy going into the agricultural planning going forward. For those kind of things, we are more interested in what you would call a medium-term to a long-term outlook. Long-term being maybe a seasonal forecast, let's say 3 months ahead, so that we know if you plant maize today, you have a good chance to have a good dryland production for this summer, if it's going to rain enough. But then also, if we look a bit further, you need to know, in terms of your planning today, the long-term planning, what's going to happen in future with the climate, many years in advance, or just 5 or 10 years into the future. Is it going to get warmer some places? Are we going to see less or more frost in certain areas? So with that perspective, a more long-term view, climate change projections are very, very much important. But projections are very important, but also historical data. We want to know if we see a projection that it's going to be warmer or wetter or whatever the projections are, the future expectations are, we want to know, is there evidence in the past for that? So for that reason, we really need also to look at the long-term data set going back decades into the past. That's not only important for knowing if the climate projections make sense, but also for knowing what kind of conditions can you expect from the natural environment, from the weather side, that can influence production. So historical data is extremely important, and historical data is also created today for the future. So measuring all the climate elements today is going to be very important as we go into the future and we look at change and we want to know, is that a natural thing that's happening? What are the extremes that we can expect in the natural environment, and what is happening in terms of climate change, and what can be attributed to the activities of humans?
Yeah.
And carbon dioxide increasing in the atmosphere and so forth.
In fact, Dr. Malheba, I wanted to ask you, when you talk about, you know, that historic data, how much of a disruptor is, you know, global warming and the new patterns that are quite emerging of climate change in terms of, you know, making that historic data as reliable, but also giving you levels of confidence on it?
Yes, that is the one thing. You need a good quality data set to work with. For a good quality data set, you need a good distribution of weather stations that look at data or look at the weather. And then also, these stations need to be in a very good condition. So all the instruments that you use for, let's say, recording or measuring temperature, rainfall, humidity, wind, those things need to be well calibrated, and they need to be placed in certain areas that is very standard, so that you know you are looking at the specific area's weather conditions. Now, in our case, we have quite a large weather station network, and we try to place the stations that we use in areas that are very important for agriculture. Now, using historical data, you can only do that if you have confidence in the data, if you want to identify little trends or large trends even in data, to know whether it's significant and whether it's part of a natural system or if there's something weird happening. Now, in South Africa, we have a few stations with a very good historical records. It only goes back to about the early 1900s, so we have about 120, 30 years of data to work with. And what we see in terms of temperature, there are clear indications that it is trending upwards, so it's getting a bit warmer, let's say over the northern and western parts of the country especially. And then if you look at rainfall, it is getting wetter over small areas in the southeast, but the larger pattern is also somewhat drier over the western to northern parts of the country. Now, again, we're looking at only 100 years of data, and keeping the records and keeping the quality of the records very good is of the utmost importance, to look at these trends over a longer time to see whether we do see some shifts in the climate system.
Well, Dr. Malheba, that's all we have time for this morning, but thank you so much for giving us a bit of insights as to what you are doing there at the AgroClimate Network and Data Bank.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's agrometeorologist Dr. Johan Malheba. Of course, that interview, we couldn't fit in all, but at least we get a snippet, given that we were not able to locate our guest for some time. Our apologies there.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.